Mafia. Back, my friends, to the In Obscuria podcast, a podcast where we exhume obscure rock and punk and metal, and we put them in one of three categories: the lost, the forgotten, or the should have beens. My name is Kevin Williams, and I'm joined today, you're not going to believe it, Robert Harrison, right over there.
I'm actually here.
He's there.
I was here last week, but I'm back again. They keep having me back, so.
Yeah, welcome back to the program.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm distracted by the loveliness of this beer sitting on the bar in the sunlight. Look at this. Look at how that's reflecting off of the beer. The sun is setting off to the, whatever the direction, west?
It'd be the west,
east,
yes.
West, yeah, that way. And we're sponsored today by Leinenkugel.
Leinenkugel.
Hand Shandy.
Summer Shandy.
Oh, Summer Shandy, yeah, sorry. I don't have my glasses. Excuse me, my dog just left the fucking firehouse.
Oh, man. He looks all tuckered out.
That's me.
Oh, you're all tuckered out.
Okay. Sorry for the interruption. So while I was away, I had to go chase my dog. So I've got a GPS notification thing for his collar. And the little bastard's been getting out somewhere in the yard. It's the third time today.
Oh, third time today.
And I can't figure out where he's getting out.
Just headed back out.
So. I locked the door. So. All right. So anyway, yeah, he goes to Publix. This time he went the other direction, and he just takes himself for walks.
Yeah.
And the neighbors brought him back once today. So that's my exercise for the day, is chasing down. Sometimes I have to get in the car because he goes far enough away where I'm like, I'm not running that far.
Well, I was going to ask you what you were up to, but I know now.
Yeah, so this has been my day today. I've got to figure out where he's getting out. It's just that I think it's springtime. He's just kind of, I don't know, anxious to go out, get out and about. He's fixed. I don't know what he's wanting to go out and do, but just... Well, see the world. So anyway, yes, we were talking about this.
We were talking about our beers, so
I need
it's
two or three more now.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, the Cougs.
Oh, excuse me.
The good old Summer Shandy Cougs.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, sorry about the odor in here.
It does smell like, what is that odor? Let me smell again.
Patchouli?
Nope. I'm pretty sure that's manure.
Yes, it is. It is high-octane garden soil that I've been spreading all over the yard today for two more days till this stupid garden tour. I'm going to kill myself before this happens.
But how many people do you think are going to show up to this
thing? I have no idea. There better be 5,000 people for as much as I've spent. I'm up to like, I don't know, I think $6,000 or $7,000.
Are you going to charge them extra when they walk up to the house?
I'm going to charge them to leave. Oh, you want to leave? $10. You have to stay here. No, it's one of those things where it's done para gratis. It's free. And it's a lot of stuff that I wanted to do anyway, but I had to do it very quickly and ahead of schedule. So yeah, just decided to get it all done, peel the Band-Aid off at one fell swoop, and I'll be mostly done by this weekend. Then I'm going to sleep for a week.
Yes, you are.
And put on some weight that I've lost.
Yeah, just sit and veg and eat.
Sit.
Just eat tubs of ice cream.
Well, the hot tub has been packed away in anticipation of the tour.
There you go.
The next day, the hot tub is getting set up, and I may not leave that hot tub for two or three days. So let's just put it that way.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, so I'll give you my address. Everybody can come over after this.
Should I get in the hot tub?
Yeah.
Will it make me sweat?
Yeah.
Should I get in the hot tub?
Yeah.
Will it make me wet?
Yeah.
Well.
Well, nice. After you spread manure, go listen to Pot of Thunder, Cobras and Fire, Growing Up Rock, Slamfest Podcast, Decibel Geek, A to Z Radio, Metal Up Your Podcast, The Hustle, Disciples of the Watch, Podcast Rock City, State of America, Rock Strikes 10, Potter Than Hell, Podkiss, The Kiss Room, Ages of Rock, Retro Zest Podcast, The Synaptic Empire, and don't forget about Monty, Monty's Rock Cast. Speaking of Monty, I just saw that the Galactic Cowboys, Monty's band, are going to re-release a couple of their albums on vinyl.
Oh, yeah?
Our listener, Jason Kearney, sent this to me in Facebook because he knows.
This is a stupid question. I'm sorry, Monty. Do they still get together and play live?
They put out an album, what, now 3 or 4 years ago? Okay. So I think they get together whenever they feel like it.
Maybe they'll feel like it soon, then.
Monty's moved away, so he's now in Colorado.
Okay, but...
But he moved from Kansas City to Colorado, so I don't know how close everyone is, but, you know, they're just playing right away.
That's just, you know, right down the street from Colorado.
That's the way it works these days, anyway. Ow. Just hit myself on the microphone. I'm a novice.
Yeah, it's first time in front of a microphone there, Kevin.
Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, come visit us at inobscuria.com. Like us, share us, recommend us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Go buy some stuff. And yeah, that's all the business. The business is done. We're here. We're drinking some summer shandies. It is officially May.
Yeah.
So it's time to start celebrating.
Month of Queen, Brian Mays.
It is Brian Mays month, apparently. Okay. So, yeah, I just think it's time to start partying a little bit.
I'm ready for it, man.
So I know you've been sleeping really well lately because you've been doing a lot of work.
Those 6 or 7 hours a night. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Me? Yeah, I've been having a lot of dreams. And lately, I've been having these dreams of returning to the sea. I want to get back to the sea, yes. It's almost like a calling of sirens, calling me back to the Caribbean.
Yar.
Yar. Oh, yep, there it is.
Oh.
The sea is called.
Oh, that's refreshing. I need that.
Oh, I'm getting on a boat.
Oh, that's nice.
Getting on a boat.
That's so nice. Oh, man, I'm going to fall asleep right now. Funky.
Hello. Some badass bass playing. Oh, yes, the sea is calling me, and Robert, it is the first week of May, and I will finally get to hop aboard the Cruise to the Edge, the progressive rock cruise that I was supposed to take 2 years ago.
The nerd boat soon will be making another run.
Yes, I am getting on the nerd boat, proudly. My prog rock cruise, it was intended to sail in April of 2020.
It's going to be such a diverse crowd of all different types of white people.
Yes, mostly old like me.
Middle-aged white people from Ohio.
There's a lot of folks coming over from, you know, yonder way, Europe.
And, foreign white folks.
Yes,
okay.
Foreign white people, pretty much. Yeah, so it was postponed in 2020 because of COVID, and it's just... Now coming 2 years later.
We're getting back in the swing of things. This is nice. It feels good.
Yep.
A lot of good concerts coming up.
The first time I was supposed to get on this boat, we recorded an episode in my preparation for it. That was episode 19.
God.
We are on episode 125.
We were productive as hell during a pandemic. Let me just tell everybody, we did not take time off. We persevered. We came in protective suits.
We did.
And all that protective. We drank a lot of alcohol, which kills COVID. So
we did. We found the cure.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. So we recorded episode 19 in a preview of what was supposed to be the trip I was going to take. We're going to have to kind of do that again. So just like that episode, this is going to be episode 125, Raiding the Prog Rock Crypt, Sunken Treasures.
Oh, yeah.
A lot has changed since 2020, obviously, in the world and everything we do, but on the boat, too. Different boat, completely different company. Originally, we were supposed to go out on Norwegian cruise line.
Oh, that's the fifth man? Six man?
No, this is not a six man.
No, that's not like the original, where we went was
the Kiss Cruise is a six man.
Six man. Yeah. That's the name of the company.
That's the company that runs it. This is Out on the Blue. It's a different company.
Okay.
Yeah, so originally in 2020, I was supposed to get on the same boat that I've always been on for every cruise, which is the Norwegian Pearl.
You know where everything is. You know where the buffet is. You know where they're.
Know that boat like the back of my hand. But no, they've changed it now. I'm getting on a Royal Caribbean boat, and I've never been on one, but Stephen Michael from Growing Up Rock.
Is that a step up, you think?
He says it's really nice.
Is it?
So, yes, a step up.
Okay. It wasn't bad. I mean,
it
wasn't
great.
Super fancy.
I don't know any different. I've been on that boat six times.
For a rock cruise, it was kind of what you need, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so new boat and a lot of changes with the lineup from 2020 to now. Yep. Mainly, Cruise to the Edge. The reason it is named Cruise to the Edge is because it is a play on words for a Yes album called Close to the Edge. Mm-hmm. It was a Yes cruise, much like the Kiss cruise is a Kiss cruise. Mm-hmm. Wait, did I say that? What shirt are you wearing?
Kiss! And by the way, on a side note, it was announced today that Gene Simmons has officially invited Ace Frehley to take part on their super duper, absolutely, this is the god-awful final tour ever.
Well, how about that?
So we'll see what he says, but he was invited.
Hmm. For $2.
$2. Can you get a ride? Hey, can you ride?
Well, that's cool. Well, anyway. Kiss has their own cruise.
Yeah.
Yes has their own cruise, but now in 2022, the difference is Yes is not on the boat.
No, because they're all dead.
I don't know about that, but they never really came out and said why they're not on it, but I'm pretty sure that Steve Howe and Alan White are like, uh-uh. No, yeah, too old. I'm not getting on that boat.
Bunch of infected people.
Not going to happen. The bass player will be on the boat. So one, Billy Sherwood will be on the boat.
The replacement.
Yeah, yeah, the replacement bass player will be on the boat. So that's, I guess they said,
are they going to have a last man tribute? Yeah. Yes, well, tribute band,
I'm assuming some of the folks are going to get together and do that.
All right, you know.
They haven't officially announced that, but one could assume. Now, some other interesting things that have happened. There was a band called Ananthema, who I was really looking forward to seeing. They're from the UK. And yeah, they broke up last year. So they're not going to be on the boat.
Oops. You couldn't hold it together for
come on.
6 more months, you jackasses.
Never saw them. Oh, well. And then the other big one for me is that due to Ty Tabor's broken finger, Kings X will not be appearing. They were supposed to be on the boat.
You had one job. One job.
Sons of
bitches. Not break your finger. That's all you had to do.
I mean, you have 3 other ones. Yeah. Come on, you're just a guitar player.
Yeah, hey, hold your pick. I can do that.
Come on, man. Play a slide the whole time. Yeah, so no King's X, no Ananthema, no Yes. There's a lot of others that also fell off.
That kind of sucks.
And this boat is interesting because if you think of prog rock, and we'll go a little bit through the history. We kind of did that in episode 19. We're not going to go too deep.
That was a long time ago, though.
That was a long time ago. But a lot of these bands are, you know, from the early 70s. That was kind of the glory days of true prog rock. And they're just older now. So some of these bands just, I think, aren't going to do it because they're like, just too old. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put myself at risk, even though I don't believe there's any risk now, but who knows? So let me go over who the headline acts are now that Yes is not on their own cruise. The headline acts are Alan Parsons.
Not his project, just Alan Parsons.
He's just Alan Parsons now. He kicked the project to the curb, I guess. Al DeMela.
Okay.
DeMela?
Yes. DeMela.
DeMela? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was in Return to Forever. We were talking a little bit about this jazz fusion thing. He was in that band in the 70s. He's done a lot of solo stuff. Kind of a jazz guy. More jazz than prog.
DeMela. Yeah, Al DeMela.
It's hard for me to say. I'm just going to let you say it. Another band that's on as a headline act, meaning I only get to see these bands once. So the way they do it, if it's a headlining band, you get a color. You're either blue or red, and you go to the show, sort of like the Kiss thing, where you get to see one Kiss show. So anyway, the other band that's a headline act is called Transatlantic, and this is a super group, and we're going to talk about them a little bit more later. And then there's one more headlining act that we'll also talk about a little bit later. I don't want to spring it just yet.
Okay.
So I am super stoked, obviously, to get on this boat. I was 2 years ago. Now I actually get to go. I was so bummed out when the whole thing, because, you know, things had just shut down.
Literally
just shut down.
Remember, we thought, okay, shut down 2 weeks, maybe 3. This is going to blow over. You know, it's not, we were all saying that, like, oh, this is going to suck. But hey, you know, 2 or 3 weeks we stay at home. Nobody realized, you know, how soon it was just going to go down the toilet.
Well, then it hit us again last year. We thought, okay, we're getting out of it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then they pulled us right back.
Right back in. Freaking mafia.
So far, knock on wood, this hasn't happened again this year, but we shall see. Okay, so just a real brief history. Progressive rock, what is it? Came kind of out of the 60s hippie counterculture a little bit, and it was where a lot of these, especially in the UK and Europe, a lot of these musicians, rock musicians, were classically trained. So they wanted to bring a little bit of their chops to rock music. So you had everything from jazz fusion to folk to classical mixed with the rock, and you got this thing called progressive rock. So think late 60s Zappa, when Frank Zappa first came out in 66. Sgt. Pepper's by the Beatles is considered somewhat one of the first prog rock albums. Mm-hmm. Pink Floyd, obviously.
Yes.
Piper at the Gates of Dawn, recorded at the same time in the same studio as Sgt. Pepper's.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would say the big unveiling of prog rock as a genre was King Crimson in Hyde Park. They opened for the Rolling Stones in 1969, and King Crimson sort of set the world on fire with the fact that you could play these intricate, weird arrangements, and people still dug it. Interesting, when I look up these super prog groups from the 70s, because the 70s was the time when these bands were just huge. King Crimson, the least selling band of all of these, I'm going to read off, which is interesting because they sort of are known as the standard bearers of
prog. Ones that other bands list as influences.
Yeah, and just down the road. Every band respects them, you know, Robert Fripp. So King Crimson, total sales around 1 million.
That's it.
That's what I read. Now, I could be wrong, but that's what I read. Pink Floyd, 200 million. In sales. Yes, 30 million. Emerson, Lake and Palmer, 48 million. Genesis, 150 million. Jethro Tull, even over 60 million. Rush, 40 million. Kansas, 30 million. And one of the guys is also going to be on the boat, the lead singer from the Moody Blues. So the Moody Blues, 70 million. I had no idea.
How are they able to sell so little, but everybody knows who they are?
I don't know. It has to be wrong, but I looked it up twice.
People just handed one album and they just passed it around their friends.
Somebody, I'm sure, will correct me, but I would have thought they would have been close to Kansas.
Or 15 million.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, okay, but one?
I guess they'd never really had a hit. So maybe that's it.
Oh, but that's true. I mean, that's the difference between a radio hit and...
Yeah, one thing to be big in your scene.
Every other band that you listed had a radio hit at some point.
Yeah. I was surprised at Kansas because they're the only American band listed. There's one American band and one Canadian band listed in those groups I just mentioned. Every other band are from the UK. Hmm. Prague is very much a British brand, and there was a lot of European bands too. There were a lot of Italian bands. Like, there's a whole Italian.
Yeah, really?
A whole Italian scene of Prague from the 70s in other parts of Europe as well. So the 70s was kind of an explosion. By the 80s, most of those bands, if they existed, became pop bands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know the story. Yes, Genesis, and all this Genesis.
Genesis Major. Mm-hmm. You know, Rush kept going, but they went a little poppy too. You got supergroups like Asia, which combined a ton of those bands together. Tull even went new wave. We played a new wave version of Jethro Tull. Yeah, it was
bad.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, from the 90s until now, the resurgence has been Legacy X are still out there. A lot of these Legacy X are going to be on this boat. Catch them now because they're not going to be around much longer. But you have a lot of new acts, too, who kind of expanded the boundaries. And a lot of that went way towards metal. A lot of progressive metal bands now. A lot of kind of alternative progressive bands. So think of the big ones like Dream Theater, Tool, Muse, even you could say it was progressive, even though they're more of a pop band. Mm-hmm. You have Opeth, who's like a death metal, but they're very proggy. And even Radiohead could be considered a progressive band because they've done all sorts of things. And especially OK Computer is very progressive sounding. Still exist out there today. And there's a lot of these new bands on this boat as well. So what I thought I would do today is kind of treat you with some of the bands that I think deserve a little more recognition and bands that are going to be on this boat with me. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to some.
Let's do it.
Prog rock bands. Now, every song that I'm playing is...
Both the songs you're going to play?
Well, they're all 10 minutes or more. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that to you.
Let me go get some snacks.
Yeah, I won't do that to you. So let's just jump in with the first one. The first band is a band that I've been listening to probably since, call it 2002, 2003. Never thought I would see them because they are from Warsaw, Poland. The band I'm talking about is called Riverside. Now, they were on the original 2020 cruise. They are still on the cruise, and they're from Poland, which is right next to Ukraine. So if they can make it, yes, you could have made the boat.
Wow, yeah, they're a little preoccupied these days.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are coming. Come on, no one has an excuse to miss this gig. So Riverside, I think you're going to dig them. They're kind of a blend of rock and metal with a lot of similarities to not so much Dream Theater, but more like the lighter side of Dream Theater, like more of like a Pink Floyd slant to a Dream Theater.
Okay.
So they definitely can rock out sometimes, but a lot more atmosphere, so very Pink Floyd in that way.
That's what I like.
So I think you might dig it. Released their first album in 1993. They've had success in Poland, and that led to distribution in the U.S. in 2004. In 2007, they toured Europe, opening for Dream Theater, so that was big for them. And unfortunately, tragically, their guitarist died of a pulmonary embolism in 2016 after attending a Winery Dogs show. And the Winery Dogs are Billy Sheehan, Mike Portnoy, Richie Kotzen. He was friends with Portnoy from touring with Dream Theater, and apparently he went to see them, and then he had this issue and just dropped dead.
Yeah.
And because that was in 2016, this band has been around, like I said, since 93. They just decided we're just going to be a trio. We're not going to replace him at that time. Now, here lately, they have taken their touring guitarist and made him an official member now, but that didn't happen until last year. Seven full-length albums, with the last one coming in 2018. So 93 to 2018, pretty long career for what we consider a new band. In this genre, this is a new band. So I'm going to play Riverside. The song is called Rainbow Box from the album Rapid Eye Movement that came out in 2007.
Medication time. My favorite part. Hello. To survive, white is for my health, blue for happiness. Thanks to red dye lid, with a shade of smile. Alpha waves appear. I've crossed a line. Sea of memories. Feel I'm going down. Acrobatic day. Got choked by colored bills. I thought that I could. But the icy water closed on me.
That's rare that a prog song leaves me wanting more.
3 minutes and 37 seconds.
Yeah, that's my normal attention.
It's the shortest song on the album, by the way.
Yeah, but I liked it, and it, like, it wasn't wearing on me. A lot of prog songs, you know. But you compared them to Dream Theater, and I got to say, back in the day when Dream Theater was at its heyday, the early 90s, I kind of liked them. I really wanted to like them, but it was them and Queensryche and a couple others that were just what I refer to as show-off bands, where everything was just to the extreme.
I agree. I loved them.
Yes, I know. But the vocals, you know, it just got annoying. Like after a while, you're like, okay, I know you can scream and sing at a, you know, unintelligible level that I can't even hear that much. And I know the guitar player can shred. I know the bass player can shred. I know the drummer can shred. But, you know, show some restraint, damn it. And so this band was kind of in that range where, once again, I wanted to hear more. I knew they had it in them. And yes, they had some of that atmospheric quality to a little melodicness to it. So, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I thought you might. And some of their other stuff is, like, really laid back. And but it's usually the longer pieces that kind of have that. So it builds.
Yeah, more time to chill out for a minute.
So I just wanted to start off with a little bit of a faster pace from them. But great band. I think you should probably dig into them.
It's called Riverside?
Riverside.
Okay. Yep.
And like I said, 7 full-length albums, and they're all fantastic. Go check that out. A band that definitely should be bigger than they are in the States. And I mentioned one of the headlining bands on the boat is a supergroup, and that supergroup is called Transatlantic. And so I'm going to feature them next.
It's not the Transatlantic Orchestra?
It is not the Transatlantic Orchestra.
Okay, that's...
No, it's just Transatlantic.
Not a Christmas band.
This is a modern prog supergroup formed in 1999, and we were just talking about Dream Theater, so Mr. Mike Portnoy is the drummer of this band, so Portnoy's going to be on the boat. That's pretty cool. I haven't seen him since I saw him last with Dream Theater, which he quit that band... That's been years ago now. No, that's not true. I saw Winery Dogs. Never mind. So he was in Dream Theater.
I never can remember. Was it Queensryche or Dream Theater opening for Ace when we saw him at the
That
Playhouse?
Was Queensryche.
Queensryche, okay.
Yep. So Portnoy, he was in Dream Theater. He quit Dream Theater, and then he's just been a ton of bands since. Winery Dogs, one I've mentioned, is more of a classic rock sounding band with our friend,
Buddy.
Billy Sheehan. And he's also in another band with Billy Sheehan called Sons of Apollo. And then he's also the drummer for the Neil Morse band and another band that he and Neil Morse are in together called Flying Colors. He and Neil are buddies.
I guess so.
Guess who the singer is in this band?
Neil.
Neil Morse. So Neil Morse, who is in the Neil Morse band,
yeah.
Go figure. And he was in a band before that in the 90s, a band that sort of helped bring back the U.S. prog with Dream Theater, a band called Spock's Beard. He was in that band, and like I said, he was in Flying Colors as well. And then the bass player of this band is a guy named Pete, and he's in a little band we've talked about before called Marillion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, we mentioned them,
we've talked about them at least
briefly,
once.
Yeah.
Glanced over. So Pete's going to be on the boat. And then the guitarist is, I hope I say this right, Swedish, Roin Stolt. And he's a guy that's been playing in prog bands since the 70s. He was in a band called Kaipa in the 70s, and then he's been in the Flower Kings since the 90s. And the Flower Kings are also playing on the boat. These guys are going to be busy. There's another band that Roin Stolt was in that I want to play at one point, and that's called The Sea Within.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really cool band. It's just a one-album project deal, but fantastic. We'll get into that someday on this program. So anyway, this band, they had 2 albums. Like I said, they got together in 99 while Portnoy was still in Dream Theater. I think Neil Morse was... He either just left Spock's Beard or I can't remember. Anyway, they did 2 albums really quickly. So 2000, 2001, they put out 2 albums. And then Neil Morse decided to quit all of his bands and focus on contemporary Christian music for several years.
Okay.
So Transatlantic kind of went away. But then in 2009, Neil decided, okay, we'll start doing it again. And they put out an album called The Whirlwind. And that third album reached number 21 on the U.S. Billboard Heat Seekers chart in 2009.
Wow.
And it's like super prog. It's a concept album.
21.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah.
They've had another 2 albums since then, and the latest is a concept album that came out last year, and my understanding is they're going to be playing either this newest album all the way through on the boat, or you may get The Whirlwind, which was the one we just talked about, all the way through. So that'll be kind of cool to see a complete album being played from front to back by these guys. I'm going to play something from this latest album, and the name of the album is The Absolute Universe. The version I have is the extended version, of course, The Absolute Universe Forevermore. It came out in 2021. We just played a song by Riverside that was called Rainbow Box. I'm just going to keep the rainbow theme going. This is Rainbow Sky by Transatlantic.
Why do you want to live your own special way? This trouble, okay. Why not take it day by day? Is it worth hoping you've got stars in your eyes? It ain't no surprise. You're living a book. Turn with the wind, fly.
I told you it was a concept album. It goes into the next song.
I don't like that concept, conceptual ending. I'm going to do quotation marks, ending.
So how much did I fool you into, like, when you first heard it? It's like, wait a minute, am I listening to a Beatles power pop?
That was going to be my opening comment was, wow, that's very Beatles-esque.
This band is very much Beatles-driven.
Twice in a row now, you've left me wanting more with these songs. So I
yeah, they really left
the
you.
The harmonies, yeah, they left me wanting an ending. Sorry. But no, the harmonies and then the keys at the end of that, it's just it's very old-school keyboards. When was this recorded again? 90s?
Last year. It came out last year.
I can't pay attention. Yeah. No, I loved it because it did have that very retro keyboard sound to it.
So it is a concept album, and all the songs are fairly short. There's a few 10, 12-minute songs, but for the most part, it's just like little sections of things that lead into the next song.
But they're really melodic, and it flows well. It's not that jarring. We're going to, once again, show off how progressive we are and just be as weird as possible. There's a time and a place for that. Not today. I'm in a mood for just chilling out and listening to some good music.
Well, if you're, I mean, you know, you've seen Dream Theater Live.
Yeah.
That was Mike Portnoy playing drums. I mean, when have you ever heard him restrain?
Yeah, that's
and this, he's very restrained.
He's got the skills. There's no question.
I think he's gotten to a certain point in his life. He's matured as a drummer, and like he knows he throws it in when he wants to. And like Sons of Apollo, that's still like really aggressive stuff. But this is more like play like Ringo.
And I guess one of the things that you know we can't miss an opportunity to bitch about current music, but that's one of the problems is all their drums are just double kick from start to finish.
Oh God, I hate
way
that.
Over the top. I mean, God, just give me some.
Nothing ruins a good metal song like a drummer who just wants to play the same beat all the way through
the whole entire song. And it's just anyway.
It's like a lawnmower.
Old man bitching about these young kids these days.
The hell. Well, let's go back to some classic prog music. And this is a band that were not in the original 2020 lineup, and I am so thrilled that they were added. And I've been a fan of this band since 1992 when I discovered them at my local record store in my little town, Square Records. Mm-hmm. In 1992, what was happening was this little record shop was trying to make some space for CDs because they had a ton of space.
Generation.
Yeah, they had a ton of space for cassette tapes, which were still kind of selling then. Mm-hmm. They had a very small section for compact disc, and they had this huge section of albums, and they weren't selling those albums anymore.
Probably throwing those in the dumpster in the back. Can you imagine?
Well, they had this whole, I mean, I just went through, I loved it. I went through there, and Chris was like, just take whatever you want, a buck each. I must have come out that day with about, I don't know, 45 or 50 albums.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was me. You see in the guitar room, I've got those framed albums and they have the price tag still on them. The date, 1991, and they're $1.60 a piece.
Yeah.
And CDs were out, but they were also $12 or $15 for a CD.
They were, yeah.
And I just was doing the same thing, going to the used album store and just buying up all the stuff I could get my hands on.
These weren't even used, man. This was a small town record store. Mm-hmm. Some of these albums that I bought, like I bought an album from this band called Wishbone Ash. This is who we're going to talk about, Wishbone Ash. I swear these albums had been in that bin since the 70s. Like, I don't think these were reissues from the 80s. I think these are the original albums that they had that they just never sold. And they just, you know, it was a little shop. They just kept them in there. And I picked up one of their albums I had to pay $2 for because it was a double live album.
Well, do you think any of those are worth anything these days? I mean, with all the collectibles out there?
I mean,
10, 20 bucks each now?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Definitely worth more than $2.
Okay.
that I paid in 1992.
Not a great investment, but good investment.
Yeah, but that's how I discovered Wishbone Ash. And I had heard the name. I had read it because I was just starting to get into progressive rock around that time as far as digging back further than the bands that I heard on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I'd heard their name, but I didn't really know much about them. I knew that they had two guitarists and they were supposed to be really awesome guitar players. And sure enough, I got three albums that day from this band that I had to listen to on a very crappy system that I had. So until I got a nice system, I never really got the full effect of this band. Mm-hmm. They're just phenomenal. They're a British band formed in 1969, and they were considered pioneers of guitarmonies.
Mm.
These two guitarists in this band kind of helped create that whole scene. And notable bands who have cited them as an influence, Iron Maiden, Van Halen, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Thin Lizzy, Metallica, Dream Theater. All those bands have put their praise on this band, Wishbone Ash. So I think you're in for a treat. They're not strictly a prog band. You could say they were a blues hard rock band more so than they were a prog band. But they also have like jazzy songs. They have one song that's like a 7-minute instrumental. It sounds like Carlos Santana.
Oh.
it's they're just all over the place. Oh, yeah, but that's what kind of makes them, I guess that's what makes them progressive. Mm-hmm. It's because they do everything. In their later years, they've had everything from jazz albums to new wave in the 80s. They've even had electronic albums where they reinterpreted their music for like four albums with electronic music. And then they've kind of always played in the prog circles, but they're just all over the place. Lots of lineup changes over the years. Andy Powell, who was one of the guitarists, he is the sole original member. So it is basically his band now, Wishbone Ash. And that's the band I'm going to see on the boat. 26 full-length albums from 1970 to 2020. Jesus. So I'm going to read this quote from Guitar World that was taken down in 2011 from Mr. Steve Harris from Iron Maiden. He says, I think if anyone wants to understand Maiden's early thing, in particular the harmony guitars, all they have to do is listen to Wishbone Ash's Argus album. So that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
We're going to listen to a song off Argus, which came out in 1972. They had this whole trilogy of songs that were about kind of like a Return of the King, kind of Tolkien kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to listen to one of the songs in that trilogy called The King Will Come. We'll be right back.
lot of guitar harmonies in there, some.
In the middle, yeah.
Yeah, I don't normally call out a bass tone on these songs, but I really like that one.
Oh, yeah. Gnarly.
Gnarly, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Look for our 6-part show we'll do on Wishbone Ash to cover all 26. No, I don't know. I do want to cover that band a little bit more.
Top the Marillion content. Yeah. Yeah, we should dive into that more.
I think you'll dig some of their stuff, and they're all over the board. That's what makes it so cool. And I guess that's what really makes them progressive.
And they're just obscure enough, too. They fit in with our theme.
Yeah, somehow they've maintained themselves for over 50 years, but you know, they're not that obscure. They've paid the bills. So let's talk about a newer band, a band from Chicago that also was not originally on the list in 2020, and they were added. And I actually had reached out to them and said, God, I wish you guys were coming on the boat. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan, the drummer, sent me something back and said, yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah. Stop stalking me.
How did you get this email?
But he said, man, I wish we could have done it. We couldn't do it. And then sure enough, when they rescheduled it, they were able to do it. So
nice.
Chicago band, relatively new. They have put out 4 full-length albums since 2010. They feature, and we've played them before on the show, but they feature the singer Leslie Hunt, who was a top 20 contestant on the 2007 American Idol TV show.
Seems to be a theme. You also know another musician.
I do. I know another lady who happened to be on American Idol.
Don't know what year. I can't remember that far.
That was one of the early ones. I think that was first or second
year. Back when it was a big deal.
Yeah. Well, it was. So I think she was on, this may have been season 6.
Yeah.
So it was still a big deal in 2007. So Leslie made it to the top 20. I don't watch the show, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I know
what happened, but obviously she had a lot of vocal talent, and she goes and joins a progressive rock band.
Of course you do.
In Chicago, where she's from. And she also does like pop stuff. She does solo stuff that is more pop, but she is a wedding singer, I think, by day or by night. You know, that's what she does for paying the bills. And then she does District 97, and they do okay, but they're a young band playing progressive rock. So
it's a very small niche market.
It's a niche, yeah. But they're great. They're absolutely great. And they've actually gotten praise from their peers, some of their older peers. So 70s prog rock giants like Bill Bruford, who was in, yes, King Crimson and Genesis.
And Bruford, Wakeman, and Howell.
And Bruford, yes, Anderson Bruford. That's hard to say.
I know.
Anderson Bruford, Wakeman, Howell.
I abbreviated it and said it really fast because I couldn't remember
you
all
forgot
of
Anderson.
Yeah, Anderson. Sorry, Mr. Anderson.
But yes, he...
Anderson Cooper was a great musician.
He has sung this... I just got that. He has sung this band's praise. And then also from King Crimson and UK and Asia, John Wetton also loved this band. And actually, before John passed, he did a full show that they recorded. It's District 97 with John Wetton, and they do all King Crimson music. And they recorded a live album, and it's fantastic.
You better be good. You got to cover some King Crimson.
Well, I was just going to say, that sort of lets you know how good they are. Even though they're a young band, they are damn good. And they kind of... stay true to the traditional prog rock of the 70s. Mm. They're not really putting a uber heavy stamp on it like a lot of the bands do. They're not super metal. They're not super prog in the sense of 70s prog either. They're somewhere in the middle, and then they have a lot of jazz elements to them. So I'm assuming these guys are all jazz schooled musicians, and that's why. And then Leslie, I don't know what her background is, but a lot of her singing is sort of jazz style singing. It's not just straight ahead pop singing. Very cool. That all sounds horrible when I hear it back in my head, what I just said. But they're
That would turn me off.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That sounds like a turnoff. But no, they're just super cool. Really love this band. I've actually been supporting them. I'm one of their supporting members when they have albums. I get my name in the album because I pre-order it, and I am part of their, I guess you'd call it a fan club. So
it gets you into rock and roll heaven.
I don't know. I want to support bands who I think are just amazing. And so that's what I do. I support this band, District 97. And just last week, I got this compact disc in the mail. I got to talk to Jonathan because he's the drummer. He's amazing. But he kind of manages. He's got like the Mike Portnoy of this band. He kind of does everything for them. They've yet to release a vinyl. Everything they put out is compact disc.
I thought that was mandatory these days.
That's what I thought. I was going to ask him about that. But no vinyl from this band. But you can get everything on Bandcamp except what I got last week because it was just a CD that came out called Many New Things, and it was for the supporters of the group. However, the song I'm going to play, they did post it this week to Bandcamp. So you can get this one song, this song that I'm going to play. If you like it, go to Bandcamp, get their stuff, and you can get this song as well. This is called Stay for the Ending. Brand new District 97.
Is there going to be an ending?
I think there's an ending.
Okay.
This one. Stay for the ending.
Got screwed on the last one.
So they recorded this during COVID. I'm not sure if they were in a recording studio or just doing it kind of bedroom recording, but sounds great. And here is District 97 from 2022.
is cutting itself to size, preparing the world for lies. It gave you the sharpest knife, but you can't divide your eyes. Get another explosion, play into the pioneer walker. Wait for the flame that came before you. Save from the words that burn for you. Lay down and take the light of future. Stay for the keeping you warm at night, but then the bed bugs bite. You sleep with the sharpest knife in case you need your demise. Get another possession, add to the pile of thunder. Way from the ghost that came before you. Save from the enemy that haunts you. Lay down and take the light of water. Stay for the ending.
That'd be impressive as hell live.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
They get to play twice, and I've looked at the schedule, and I'm definitely going to check them out twice.
I mean, the guitar and the bass doing all that stuff in unison. It's just, I always wonder, you know, about the writing process. Does the guitar player come up with it and the bass player just jumps in, or vice versa? Or do they go, okay, I want to go, no. You should go, okay, yeah, let's just do that. And then,
well, we've been there. We do exactly that.
You're right.
Okay, but yeah, I like what you did there, but no, don't do that and do that instead.
And the third time, do the other thing and then that thing. Yeah, okay.
You know how this works.
Yeah, back when my brain used to be a little bit more cognizant.
We used to do that all the time.
I guess we did. I forget that.
And especially Kent. Kent. The drummer a lot of times would be the one, at least for our band, he'd be like, no, what if you do this instead?
Yeah, we would have it down. We're like, okay, this is great.
We love our parts.
And all of a sudden, Kent, hey, you know what?
You should try this.
Oh, God, no. Kent, you're killing us, man.
He did that to me just the other week.
Did he?
Yeah, we were writing a new song for The Swear.
Yeah.
And it's Well, I'll let you hear a little bit of it. It's a song that you and I worked on years ago. Yeah. And finally, I was like, just throw it out and see how it goes. And of course, midway through it, in something that I've been playing for years, Kent's like, hey, man, why don't you invert that and do this instead? I'm like, oh, God, I have to reteach myself what I'm doing.
Yeah, just be a drummer, man. But just sit there and shh.
You know what? It sounds better.
Of course.
It sounds better because Kent's right.
Well, the worst, the absolute worst, was when I had an idea for the drums and would have to try to explain to the drummer, me, a guitar player.
Flap them.
Yeah. Because I had no knowledge of drums. And like the big drum. Yeah, no. Now hit the big drum and then that small one over there. Yeah, and then the round thing. Yeah, hit the round.
And then he spits on you.
Yeah, that's the reason he would spit on me. Yes.
Well, back to District 97. What did you think of Leslie?
Oh, nice voice. Yeah, I could see that some American Idol material. America's Got Talent?
No, it was American Idol.
American Idol. Okay, yeah, there's too many shows like that.
Yeah, so she brings this whole different aspect to this band. They would sound completely different without her.
Yeah.
And it's unique because she's approaching it from a totally different place. Mm-hmm. I'm just assuming that she's approaching this from an entirely different place. And then to watch them live, I don't know if it's from her American Idol days or if just how she interprets music, but she dances. And she dances to this band. And to watch that on stage.
I guess in between all the lyrics, you got to do something.
Yeah, but with all the time signatures, I'm like, well, I don't even know how you're doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't dance to 4/4. I'm very impressed with that, yes.
So she's kind of herky-jerky all the time. It's like they're, 7-8. She's and all these weird
epileptic or dancing. I can't, it's the same thing. It looks like that to me.
So anyway, very cool band. Looking forward to seeing them. The other thing that Leslie does is she's taken to wearing, duct tape.
Oh.
So she just kind of duct tapes herself.
She gets warm and just the least you could wear is some duct tape.
I'm curious if she's going to bring out the duct tape.
Oh.
The silver duct tape here at this performance.
We'll not like a full dress out of duct tape.
Just the brassiere.
Strategic part.
Yes. Huh. The man's ear. just the boobage section. So we'll see.
It's a cruise.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot.
I don't know if I want that tape residue.
Can you imagine taking that off? I've taken off duct tape.
Maybe she puts it on top of something else.
You have to, because that would hurt
on
like
your
a mofo.
Skin, gotta hurt.
That's worse than a Band-Aid.
I should ask her. Those are the types of questions that we need answers for.
Are your nipples raw?
Yeah. Creepy old man asking me this question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably not. Probably not going
to
happen.
The 43rd creepy old man to ask her that question on the cruise.
Yes. And I saw she just turned 40, so she's still a puppy.
Oh, she's a youngin.
All right. So I'm going to talk about a band for song number 5 that were on the original list. It's a band that I've wanted to see for a while, and this is a true Swedish progressive metal band. Oh. We need some Swedish bands on this cruise, and we got one. And it's Pain of Salvation. Sounds serious.
Evil,
it sounds kind of evil, but not really. So a band formed in 1991 by Daniel Gildenlow. Maybe I'm saying that right. Sounds good to me. He is the band's main songwriter, lyricist, guitarist, and vocalist. And sometimes he is also the fifth member of Transatlantic. So the supergroup that we talked about.
They're going to be on board already.
I'm assuming he's going to be up there at some point. So he started a band in the early 90s when he was real young. And he actually won a Swedish music contest in 1987 with that first band. And he was like a teenager. And he won for best vocals. Kind of tells you you're going to get a good singer here. Mm-hmm. It's really guitar-based music. It's heavy. It's modern prog. So it's kind of heavy and calm. It's very complex vocal harmonies and very complex structures, a lot of syncopation and polyrhythms. So more of kind of what we just heard, but they do a lot of atmosphere as well. So I think you're going to dig this. 11 full-length albums from 97 to 20. They've been very prolific in their years. Or I should say Daniel has. He's kind of had a revolving cast, but it's mainly his gig. And we're going to play an album, the first album that I ever bought, actually. I've only just gotten into this band in 2014 or 2017. But what happened to him when he was writing this album comes from 2014. He contracted a life-threatening flesh-eating bacteria.
Oh, lovely.
I've heard about this before, but never heard of a musician having this.
No, you should you get in weird places, like if you're in a swamp or you're swimming in the wrong lake or something.
So
weird.
A life-threatening flesh-eating bacteria.
Yeah, that does sound
so good. He was hospitalized in Sweden for quite a long time. He had to sit out the transatlantic tour that he was supposed to be part of at the time. And he wrote this when he was in the hospital. He wrote this whole album, kind of a lot of it in his head.
Nothing better to do.
Yeah, a lot of it in his head. And then he also wrote this, a blog about it. He said, this is when it first happened. He said, I've been brought to the emergency ward with flesh-eating bacteria. Teams of doctors struggle, but no antibiotics help. No morphine takes away the pain. What started off as an annoying infection has, in just hours, suddenly pivoted into the very real possibility of my actually dying.
Jeez.
Like, that'll put things in perspective.
Yeah, when they can't find anything that works, that's like,
And it's very painful. We got out of this, their 10th album, and I just think it's a brilliant album. It's obviously very heady. It's, you know, very emotional. I'm going to play a song that has a slow build, but when we get to the end, you'll be satisfied with what you get in the guitars and where it builds to. This is a song called Angel of Broken Things from In the Passing Light of Day.
Your wings take me.
I mean, the ending was just blistering.
It's amazing.
Oh, I
right?
should say that. It was about that song.
See what you did there.
Yeah, the Pink Floyd references go all throughout that song. The intro, kind of the wall sound to it, then the ending, you had that womp, 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 welcome to the machine. You had right. the kids' voices in the background, back to the wall again. The huge solo after a really slow build, very Gilmore-ish. Heavier, a little bit heavier, but not too far off from his tone. So I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought you might like that.
Very dark, and yeah, I'm glad you explained the subject matter beforehand. That definitely put it into perspective. But yeah, when you're lying there and you've got nothing to do and you think, you know, wow, you cross that line from, well, this is going to be bad to, oh God, this could be it.
Yeah.
You know, it could cross that line.
And the whole album's about him, one, dealing with that, but then thinking about how his wife's going to have to deal with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's all about...
Your thoughts drift from, it's going to be bad for me, and then, oh, for my loved ones that I leave behind. Yeah. That's
now, the thing that's different with them from Pink Floyd is, Pink Floyd, while they did have some different time signatures, they didn't do what he does, which is polyrhythms.
Oh, listen,
so he's got rhythms going on over rhythms over rhythms.
I couldn't keep up with it. I tried my best to kind of figure out what was going on. I couldn't.
Yeah, the drummer in this band, sometimes I'm like, where is he? Because you don't know which rhythm he's listening to. Mm-hmm. And that's what polyrhythms are, things that don't seem like they should go over, but they overlap.
Mm-hmm. It's fractions. It's all fractions.
It's math. I don't get it. You know,
crap like that.
It's really cool sounding.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
But I can't figure it out.
One, two, three. One, two, one, three. One, two.
I don't know.
Just feel it. Yeah, give me a 4/4. Thank you.
Exactly. Okay, one more song for you. And the one act, the headline act that I did not mention, it's a band that I've never seen live, that I've always wanted to see live. We've covered them in depth. Last year, we did 4 episodes on this band, spanning their entire career. I'm talking about Marillion. I finally get to see Marillion play live on this boat.
You know, that would be a good reason to go on that cruise right there. I think that's it's going to be a good
my biggest highlight event. Of the whole thing. Now, because they are a headline act, I only get to see them once. They play twice, but I have a guaranteed seat, so I am going to see this band. And listen, something horrible happens, which you never know. You've been on a boat before and had an injury. I have as well. So
yes.
You never know what...
And we found out the hard way there's no doctors on those boats.
There's not. So self-medication is the only way. So you don't know what state you're going to be
in. Lots of rum.
I'm hoping I will see Marillion. It's going to be the highlight of the boat, I'm sure, for me, of the whole trip. And what else can we say about Marillion that wasn't covered in episode 73, 75, 77, 11, and 79?
70, 12...
I'll tell you what else can be said. They released a brand new album this year.
Hey,
the one we didn't cover.
Episode 126. I see it coming now.
So album number 20, it was released on March 4th of this year, 2022.
Damn, those guys don't take a break.
They really don't. And for them, this is the highest charting album they've had since Clutching at Straws from 1987. Mm-hmm. They hit number 2 in the UK charts.
Nice.
That is
them.
Impressive. Album number 20. These guys are in their 60s. That's badass.
So, kind of beef up that retirement fund.
Yeah, so love that. Love to hear that. Marillion's doing really well with this album. It's called An Hour Before It's Dark. Obviously, the context of the album is pretty much about everything going on right now, from the pandemic to the wars to everything else, the crisis that is the world we live in right now. And I'm going to play a song. This is one of the singles. It's a shorter song from Marillion.
12 minutes.
It's only, I think it's a 4-minute song. Okay. This is called Murder Machines.
Murder machines. Fragments of life. Too small to see.
dude, you keep pulling this out of your ass. I love these prog songs that keep me wanting more when they're over with. You just made excellent selections tonight, because normally I'm like, oh, that's a good song. And I was kind of like, okay, beginning, middle, end, ready to move on. But all of these really just had a good groove to them, a message, lyrics that were poignant, all the just big sounds. That's what I love about Marillion.
Oh,
they
so many
can
layers
make a
and
big sound. Yeah, his voice is soothing, but it's big and just booming at the end. It just, yeah, I remember those episodes and remember enjoying all that. So yeah, maybe we do sneak in one more episode with them.
Maybe we will. We may have to wait till another album comes out, but
yeah,
we'll see. So some other bands that I'm going to mention that I didn't play, but some bands that you might know, Saga, are going to be on this.
Tonight, Boat. We're on the loose.
Yes.
I love that song.
Yeah, I love that's a great
song. That was a big MTV song in the early days, like was it 82?
Yeah, it was
83 maybe.
It was weird because they had two hits, Wind 'Em Up, I think was the other one.
I don't even remember that.
Two hits off that same album, yeah. and then
nothing.
Well, I mean, they were a prog band. So
that's true.
Like they kind of had this, they kind of did like Yes, where they had like a album where it was poppy.
Mm-hmm.
But then they were a prog band. So I don't know. I don't know why they didn't do more. We might revisit Saga at some point.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The Flower Kings, I mentioned they're going to be on the band because part of them are also in Transatlantic. From King Crimson in the 80s, Adrian Belew is going to be on the band. I don't know if you ever heard Adrian Belew, but he's awesome. The Zappa Band. So Zappa's backing band.
His actual band.
Are going to be on the boat. That'll be
I wonder who
cool.
does the vocals.
I don't know. I don't know if it's some of the original guys or not, but they're just labeled as the Zappa Band.
Cool.
So that should be really cool. Haken, a band that we played in episode 19, I'm sure you remember.
Yeah. Oh,
they're going to be on the boat. They're one of the newer bands, kind of Dream Theater-ish metal prog, really cool stuff. Martin Barr, the guitarist from Jethro Tull. Mm-hmm. He's going to be there doing his own thing, I'm sure, playing some Tull. Goblin, an Italian band. We've played them before.
We don't remember that
at all. So Goblin are the band, they used to do all of the horror movie soundtracks back in the
70s. Oh, yeah. Now I remember.
So it's like proggy, disco-y, creepy.
Spooky disco.
Creepy, spooky. So that'll be fun. Bass player extraordinaire Stu Hamm, who used to play with Joe Satriani and tons of other guitar heroes. Stu Hamm's an amazing bass player. He's going to be there. And one that I think you would really like, the McBroom Sisters are playing. Now you're laughing.
Yeah.
Durga and Lorelei McBroom are the backup singers from the latest three or four tours that Pink Floyd did.
Oh, those.
These
I
are
just
the
said the name
sisters.
Kind of sounded familiar.
These are, Durga McBroom. So they're the ones doing all those great backup singers.
Yeah.
And so they got some ringers, musicians, and they'll be playing half of their stuff will be Pink Floyd.
You got to send me or make some video of that. I got to see a visual reference of that. And
they're playing in a small venue the first night.
Like a lounge act, basically.
Like a lounge thing. I'm like, oh my God, here are these Pink Floyd songs played by
Durga. I love that name.
So yeah, Durga and Lorelei.
Lorelei, McBroom. Okay. That's a nice name, but Durga.
She's a badass.
Oh yeah.
She's the one that does all that singing.
The Great Gig in the Sky. Oh my God, if they do that.
Oh, they will.
Live,
I'm sure they will.
I love that. It's
gonna be
such
awesome.
An amazing
I'll
song.
See if I can
I always forget the lyrics, but it's a great song.
Awesome. So I am super stoked. I will be on the boat when this episode gets released. Hopefully I get back. If not, I will have had a good time.
Way to go. Go out on top.
All right. So that's what I got for you, man. After this, we're going to take a little pause for a week.
Yeah.
We're going to take a pause.
I need to go find where my dog's getting out and fix the fence somehow.
And so here's what I suggest everybody does.
Yeah.
Instead of us posting a rerun, go find an old episode.
Yeah.
And dig back into
this
it.
This is like spring break. This is your chance to catch up on your homework.
Catch up.
That episode that you missed that you've been meaning to go back and listen to, or maybe one that you really liked and you want to listen to again.
Exactly. You know, if you're new and you like this episode, go listen to episode 19, way back. And it'll be just like this. It's me getting ready to go on a boat. That never happened.
We sound a lot younger back then.
Oh, yeah. We sound so much
it's
different.
Pre-COVID. Good old days.
Yeah, the editing's probably horrible, but, you know, it's not so great now. That's what I got for you. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks, I guess. See ya. 1 week. Something like that. I don't know. See ya. See ya.